This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Here are Tuesday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. March corn, 382, up 3 1/4. May corn, 391, up 3. July corn, 399 1/4, up 3. March soybeans, 10.08 3/4, down 2 1/2. May soybeans, 10.12 1/4, down 1 1/2. July soybeans, 10.17 1/4, down 1/2. March wheat, 5.08 3/4, up 3/4. May wheat, 5.06, up 6. July wheat, 5.09 3/4, up 5 3/4. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices, they ended mixed on Tuesday afternoon, with corn and wheat higher and soybeans ending lower. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 3 cents higher at 361 to 381, while soybean bids were down 3 to 5 cents at 978 to 999. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 cents at 352 to 383, while soybean bids were 2 to 3 cents lower at 986 to 1013. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were 3 cents stronger on Tuesday, ranging from 367 to 386, soybean bids down 2 cents at 995 to 1017, and wheat bids 6 cents higher at 406 to 493. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 2 to 3 cents lower at 10.15 to 10.27, while basis was steady to 1 cent lower, ranging from 3 to 15 over the May. High Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $361.80 to $371.80. That's down $2.50 a ton, with basis steady on Tuesday, ranging from 20 to 30 over the March. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids 3 cents higher at 388 to 393, with basis steady ranging from 3 under to 2 over the May. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 5 to 6 cents higher at 383 to 387, basis up 2 to 3 cents ranging from 8 to 4 under the May. Soybeans down 4 to 5 at 10.06 to 10.21, with basis 2 to 3 cents lower, ranging from 6 under to 9 over the May. New crop wheat prices were 6 cents higher on Tuesday at 4.90 to 5.04, with basis steady, ranging from 20 to 6 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 2 to 3 higher at 4.03 to 4.05. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 6 to 10 cents, with quotations at 10.37 to 10.38. Soft red winter wheat up 6 to 11 at 5.06 to 5.16, and Milo 3 to 13 higher at 4.61 to 4.66. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. Country elevator bids to producers in those regions for new crop corn range from 3.75 to 3.87. New crop soybean bids range from 931 to 958. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 372 to 387, with the new crop soybean bids at 950 to 963. And in the southern part of the state on Tuesday, new crop corn bids range from 375 to 387. New crop soybean bids at 931 up to 958. And wheat bids for June-July delivery in southern Illinois, those range from 470 up to 498. That completes our country grain report for Tuesday. This is Jerry Milberg with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are your closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, 151.05, down $2.40. June live cattle, 143.67, down $2.12. August live cattle, 142.07, down $1.60. March feeder cattle, 202.72, down $1.37. April feeder cattle, 199.87, down $2.25. May feeder cattle, 198.27, down $2.25. April lean hogs, 65.60, down $2.07. May lean hogs, 77.52, down $2.77. June lean hogs, 80.52, down $2.52. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday the 3rd's afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 38 cents higher in the range of $57 to $66.50, with the weighted average carcass price of $64.62. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 25 to 31, 4 to 5 weights 27 to 34, 5 to 6 weights 29 to 35, and 6 weights and up 30 to 37. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $38 to $45. Receipts for Illinois hogs today totaled 18,818 head. And now for the report from the United Producers Auction in Shelbyville. They had receipts of 285 head compared to last week. Steers and heifers were 50 cents to a dollar higher. Holstein steers a full dollar higher. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 159 to 164. Select and choice, 158. Choice slaughter Holstein steers, 149 to 152. And choice slaughter heifers, 158 to 162, with select and choice at 155 to 158. In the direct cattle trade from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at 160, and heifers on a live basis were at 157. From the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 447 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $69.01, and that was 66 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading mixed. Choice carcasses, $249.61, that was 94 cents higher, with select carcasses at $245.28, that was 17 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 109,000, that compared to 109,000 last week and 113,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 435,000, that compared to 407,000 last week and 404,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
The transportation infrastructure of Brazil leaves much to be desired. Over the past week, truckers in the country have been protesting by blocking off roads. Market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, gives some background on the issue and tells us how the protests are affecting the markets.
Well, really, South America is known for its strikes. Usually they only last a day or two. This one has certainly lasted longer. I think this has gone about 10 days to 2 weeks in that time frame. But basically, this was not an organized union strike, but individual truckers on their own and trucking firms on their own decided they'd had enough with high fuel prices and regulations, and that they were going to they're just going to stop movement, not only of their trucks, but of other trucks as well. And so they really brought the Brazilian economy to a standstill. We look at it from the standpoint of it stopping the movement of soybeans to the port and stopping the loading of soybeans at ports. But it had far-reaching impacts, closed half of their meatpacking plants, which gave some support briefly to U.S. meat prices. But it also stopped the flow of food and goods to grocery stores, retail outlets across Brazil, and created a lot of havoc in that country.
However, the trucker strikes are now on the decline, and Suderman says that's putting some pressure on U.S. markets.
Well, we've come under pressure this week as the trucker strikes in Brazil seem to be declining in significance. The Brazilian government has really stepped up enforcement of keeping the roads open. The latest data that I saw showed that there were 18 blockades across the roads of Brazil, but that's one-fifth of what we saw a week ago. And so soybeans are moving. Still a lot of concerns about their busiest southern port in Brazil. But overall, we're seeing that movement, and probably the key fact is we're not seeing an extension of the U.S. export season. The latest export sales and shipment data would suggest that we are still seeing that shift in demand south of the equator toward Argentina and Brazil. Prices there are in decline. business is shifting there. We're seeing a decline in demand for U.S. soybeans and U.S. soy meal. And so it looks like we finally reached that time of the year when business is shifting south of the equator.
The other large issue that's impacting markets in the near future is, of course, weather. Although there's still snow on the ground, we are rapidly approaching spring reports.
Everyone's waiting for that warmer weather. Unfortunately, after a brief warm-up here in the days ahead, it looks like we have colder weather returning and even another snowstorm coming across much of the Midwest and the East once again. So from that standpoint, it looks like spring is going to be late to arrive and stay. We will have some, you know, variations in temperatures and some brief encouragement before another surge of cold air comes and perhaps another snow. And that's going to keep planters in the sheds for quite some time. I know it's March and early, but we've had our years when the weather was so nice, you just couldn't keep those planters in the shed. So it looks like it could be a late spring overall for getting corn planted. I don't think that the market's going to pay a lot of attention to that because they've seen too many years when farmers could plant the bulk of the crop in 10 days' time. So I don't think it's going to be worrisome to traders, but it is much more so to farmers because they have a lot more field work and preparation, a lot more fertilizer to put on this spring that didn't get on in the fall, and so that's a concern for them. But overall, this is the time of year when the market starts to worry about, do we have enough acres? Even though the odds are against adverse weather this summer based on analysis by climatologists, this is the time of year when you tend to worry, but what if we do have bad weather? For soybeans, it's tough to really get too concerned about because of the large global surplus of soybeans despite the strong demand. But with corn, we're only looking at a 16-day supply above 40-year lows. And so corn has a much smaller window of margin and against adverse weather. So I'm anticipating at some point we will see corn gain against soybeans and that new crop soybean corn price ratio get closer to 2.2, 2.25. Trying to get a few more corn acres.
Suderman also gave an overview of what we're looking at in the livestock markets this week.
When we look at the livestock markets, we rallied on Monday to start the week as the live cattle futures tried to close the gap somewhat with the cash market. Last week's cash trade was mostly 158 to 160, a few of them down to 156, but the 158 to 160 on a live basis caught the bulk of the trade. And with the February contract going off the board, that left the lead April contract at quite a discount. Rallied up into an area chart congestion, did not have the strength to push through it. So now as we come, it's turnaround Tuesday, traders selling down from that area of chart resistance, and we're seeing weakness return. Same thing in the feeder cattle market with weakness in the fat cattle. There's simply not the enthusiasm at the sale barn to push prices higher. We've got some pretty stiff resistance for the lead March contract at that 205 level. And nothing happening at the sale barn to necessarily prove them wrong in doing that.
This winter, the hog industry had expected another outbreak of the PED virus. That outbreak never came to fruition. Suderman goes over the market impact of the rapidly growing U.S. hog numbers.
Well, we will see a new quarterly hogs and pigs report come out later this month to try to get a handle on just what the scope of the expansion of the hog industry has been over the last several months. But generally, when you look at the numbers, we're slaughtering more hogs than we did a year ago and at heavier weights, and the supply is overwhelming the demand. We did see the poor weather slow the movement of hogs to packing plants, and that allowed the cash market over the last five or six trading days to move higher, and that's been encouraging, but the product market really has not followed through in that trend, and so the product continues overall to be in a downtrend, and that's not bullish long term. We tried to rally the futures market based on that stabilization of the cash market, but the general fear is now that once the weather improves and those hogs go to market, that they'll be at heavier weights and we'll just add that much more supply to the anemic demand.
Although hog prices may be dropping, both hog and cattle owners have a bright spot, and that is the low feed prices.
Well, certainly both are enjoying the cheaper corn prices. I know both cattlemen and hogmen would like to see the cheaper corn prices reducing their input costs, and they're certainly glad with these prices, particularly for hogs, that we're not looking at the $6 corn prices. But margin suppression has gone across agriculture now, both for the crop producer and for the livestock producer. We're seeing that margin suppression, and it means they just have to work that much harder at trying to hit singles and doubles in their marketing and their risk management plans.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. The University of Illinois Extension Office in Carlinville will be hosting an informational meeting on best management practices, or BMPs, on Monday, March 16th from 9:30 to noon. Speakers will include NRCS staff with the Conservation Stewardship Program, staff from the Illinois Council on Best Management Practices, and local farmers who will be giving their input on cover crops and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Strategy. Lunch will be provided. Those interested in attending must RSVP by March 12th to Aaron Engstrom at 217-854-2626, extension 3, or by emailing aaron.engstrom@il.usda.gov. Again, the informational meeting on best management practices will be Monday, March 16th, from 9:30 to noon at the University of Illinois Extension Office in Carlinville. That's all for this morning's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.